Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Coming to you from downtown Toronto, this is Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard. As we break news, the Anaheim Ducks have signed their restricted free agent defenseman, Hampus Lindholm. Here to chat about it, and as well as the Toronto Maple Leafs back in action tonight, hooking up with the Florida Panthers and reflecting on what happened last night in the National Hockey League with the four games. Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. Hampus Lindholm signed to a six-year contract, and this will slot him in right in the same range as Ristolainen and Riley. Riley's at $5 million a year, Ristolainen at 5.2, Lindholm a cap hit of 5.25, and then you have Aaron Ekblad at 7.5. So the number that they get Hampus Lindholm in at 5.25, who won this stare down?
It certainly seemed like he was holding out for something north of 5.5. Just wasn't going to happen. He slotted where he probably should be. But as we talked about last week, when you got Ekblad at 7.5, I think the wishful thinking is that moved the bar up for a lot of other defensemen. And it didn't happen.
Well, you know, when you look at Ekblad, you know, when you're a general manager and you saw that deal come down the pipe, you were like, are you kidding me? We all love Aaron Ekblad. There's not a general manager in the league that doesn't love Aaron Ekblad, but 7.5 coming out of an entry made absolutely no sense.
Like when you see those signings, when you see those signings at five, between 5 and 5.2, 5.3,
yeah,
and you consider Ekblad better than all of those.
Yeah.
What would you say that moves Ekblad probably closer to 6,
right,
but not 7.5?
That's right. But you know what? I give Tim Murray, Bob Murray guys credit for battling, and they had the Morgan Riley. And whether you like it or not, the whole negotiation comes down to leverage and comparables. Lindholm has leverage. There's no doubt about it. But they've got the December White one looming. The comparables are too strong. When Ruotsalainen signed and you had Morgan Riley's in the bank, those comparables are too strong to pay him any more than that. For me, I thought it was good work by both, and I think the agent did a fair deal for his player. I don't know who Lindholm's agent is.
Despite missing time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to factor that in, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you're not getting that money back. You're not getting that time back.
No.
And now you're behind.
Right. So I think, in fairness, the agents for the players, Jeff Jackson with Ekblad blew it out of the water. He got lucky because he had an inexperienced GM doing the deal, I guess. I don't know. And they love Ekblad. Come on, let's be honest here. You know, we can say what we want about the deal in Florida, but you love Ekblad he's a franchise. He's going to be a franchise player. I guess the rationale is you'll get your money back eventually because how good
with,
he is.
With no state tax and the cost of living, yeah. Ekblad's 7.5 anywhere else is really like 8+.
Anaheim Ducks have zero cap space available.
Yeah.
With this deal. They don't have to move anybody until he's actually there, but
Dupre is out on LTI. So that he'll have some finagling to do. But you know what? The cap space is always a challenge, but you always can figure out a way to make it work.
Really?
You can.
Chicago didn't.
Well, sometimes
they wanted to keep Shaw, and they
I know,
had
but sometimes you have to get down on your hands and knees and say a prayer before you go to bed at night, like Jay Feaster used to do for injuries in Tampa. What,
does this mean Cam Fowler's gone? I'm watching him last night.
Geez, I would hope to win a Stanley Cup.
I know, but...
Are they not trying to win a Stanley
Cup?
Yes. I would hope not. I think, look, if I'm them...
Well, he's the name out there.
Would you not consider Bernier maybe first? Would you not consider... Could you ever move Bernier in a deal to save a couple of million? You may have to take something back, but...
They just
how do you
got
have a
him.
Back? I know, but how
they
do you...
They just got
I know,
him.
But how do you...
How do you move him when you just got
because
him?
Because you got a backup at 4.
Why
plus.
Did you get him to begin with? You didn't see that coming?
I can't answer that question. I'm just saying, how else can you move space but to have a $4.5 million? Is he $4.5 million back? $4.1 million backup.
You're back to asking questions live.
Well, yeah,
again.
But you got to ask questions about it because who are you moving, Bernier or Fowler? I know who I'm moving.
Mm-hmm. I'm not moving
But who can you move?
I'm trying to win a Stanley Cup.
And Bernier wouldn't be easy, but Bernier might be easy with the goaltending debacle out there right now. And if you took something back that maybe can save you a couple of million on the deal, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you can find a way to do it without moving a Fowler.
You don't want to move a Fowler. There's a difference between who you want to move and who you can move.
And with Dupre, with his injuries, maybe you consider moving a Dupre. You know, he's got to do something. For me, moving Fowler doesn't make sense. Unless... And in, with all due respect to Bob Murray, he knows a lot more about Fowler than we do. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be moving him.
I wouldn't want to move him.
No.
I'm not advocating moving him because he's an issue. He's an asset to your hockey team.
He's a good player.
And he's a homegrown player. You've got him to this point. Why give up on him other than because you're forced to?
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. It happens that sometimes you're forced. Chicago is the example.
Big night for the Anaheim Ducks as they drilled the Nashville Predators last night, and even without their captain. We'll get into last night's schedule in just a little bit. But first up, the Toronto Maple Leafs at home tonight to the Florida Panthers. Anybody surprised that Frederik Andersen is going back in for Mike Babcock?
No, I'm not.
No?
I'm not.
No.
You didn't think they'd give him a night off just to collect himself after the other night?
The night off would have come if he would have pulled them, and it's... crystal clear. He says he's my guy. I got to help him get work this through. You don't do that by sitting him out till the weekend. You give him this start here, and if he has one that's similar to Tampa Bay, then you look to the weekend to give him a game off.
How do you give him? So you got Florida tonight. You got Florida tonight. You got Montreal coming and
Islanders.
The next Sunday. Three. So you give him
back to back.
You give him tonight off. If you give him tonight off, you're throwing him in Montreal, which is one of the best teams in the league. Now, tonight's not an easy assignment with the way Florida Panthers are playing.
He can come in Saturday night with momentum.
Well, if you can. But this is a tough test tonight. The Florida Panthers are playing pretty well, and they create chances. So it's tonight or Montreal.
I'm going with him tonight,
I guess.
I don't think it matters whether you're up against the best team in the league or not. Yeah. He's struggling. Here's James Reimer, who's going to watch Roberto Luongo get the start tonight for the Florida Panthers, and advice that he has for goaltenders in the Toronto market. We have James Reimer.
Did I miss the advice?
Is there your head in the sand? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in Toronto or Florida, San Jose, Vancouver, you know, you name it. I mean, it's one of those things where you just lean on what you believe in and what you think you're capable of. I mean, everyone's going to voice their opinion, and you know, everyone is allowed to do that. People can boo, people can cheer. It's up to them. It doesn't really matter, but you just have to focus on what you can control and what, you know, how much you believe in yourself. And so, I mean, that's kind of, you know, how I felt. And I mean, for me, I had a great support around me, family, friends, wife. I mean, that's a big part of it too.
The ups and downs that he went through.
And he's
in 100%
the Toronto market. Right.
It's easy to say when you're in Florida now. He handled it as well as anybody handled it here. It's some heat. You know, he did handle it right.
Lost his job.
He should, when he retires,
got it back.
He should become an agent. For the deal he got in Florida, he should become an agent when he retires.
If 17 for five, was that? Is that what he ended up
5
with?
5 years.
$3 million a year.
Yep.
It's a pretty good deal.
Like I said, he could be one of the top agents in the business with that deal.
Now, how hard is it for Frederik Andersen?
Back up. As far as better backup goalies, he's perfect.
Why wouldn't he have gotten Bernier's 4.1 from Florida? He should ask for that.
It's good. Frederik Andersen too, isn't it?
Frederik Andersen's going from this market that is in Southern California. That's the secondary market in Southern California. Media attention, fan base, to the pinnacle here with an original six in Canada. How hard do you think this adjustment is going to be for him? He got it the other night after the game. He stood in front of the media yesterday and got drilled again over and over about it.
Not everybody has the personality to handle it. So that's what we're going to find out. But I'm with Babcock in the thinking that he's a good goalie. He is a good goalie, and you certainly haven't seen the best of him yet. So the question is, can he find that comfort zone between what's going on between his ears and how he performs every night. And they're going in opposite directions right now. The head and the body are not in sync, and that's what you hope that he can get out of a game as early as tonight. Like, but big, you stick with him.
A big change for him, you know, you go from that post-game interview at ice level that goes all over the arena from one of the Anaheim staffers interviewing you to 35 microphones stuck in your face. And with all due respect to Helene Elliott, and there's some good writers out there, but, I mean, it's not even comparable what he's facing right here.
Especially when it comes to the free agent market, there's some, and we saw that recently with Stamkos, that gets weighed in. Mm-hmm. Rick Nash. You think Rick Nash ever wanted to come to Toronto? Not a chance. He don't want to deal with it.
And what it did, don't to, want da- to, deal what with it did to David Clarkson.
Yeah, like seriously. And so, you know, but if Freddie is as good a goalie as everybody tells me he is.
I think he is.
And everybody tells me he is, then he should be fine. He should be fine.
Did you not find it intriguing, though, the other night they asked Babcock, what are you doing with your goalie? You appear to be wanting to change his style a little bit, tweak it. He said, no, we're not. They asked Frederik Andersen. He said, I don't want to get into it. Mm-hmm. They're on different pages even with that answer.
I guess my question would be, do you think Babcock, other than me asking Rick Walmsley about our goaltending, and I didn't really get into specifics with him about what he was trying to do style-wise.
Mike Babcock has a philosophy.
Well, that's what I'd like to
know. He also has a goalie coach.
I'd like to know if that's true. He has a philosophy, and is that philosophy different from the way Freddie played before he got here?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
He wants his goaltender to be aggressive on the shooter and let the backdoor play be taken care of the back checker or the defenseman.
And most people now want the goalie playing on the goal line.
Well, so you want options.
You want options.
Which gives you options. Not in the goal line.
So Babcock, but playing deeper, playing much deeper.
So Babcock tells the media that, like, we want to just leave him alone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is
leave him alone.
This is
his idea of leaving somebody alone and mine
this
are two different
things. No, maybe your expertise comes in because you've dealt with this as a coach and general manager and a president. You also have a goalie coach, mm-hmm. right? And the Leafs just hired a new one, right?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but he's not well known, and I don't know how much
he's going to become well known.
I don't know how much background he's had.
They have Steve Breer and Brian DeCourt.
Okay.
As their goaltending.
And now, I mean, you're kind of our goalie guru. Are these guys been around a long time?
Breer's new to the scene.
Completely new to the scene.
New to this.
Now,
level,
would Babcock be going to his new goalie
new to the
coach?
Scene?
New to the scene goalie coach.
New to the NHL, okay?
We need to back off Andersen. Would he'd be telling his goalie coach, just leave him alone and maybe don't even come into work today?
No, I think...
Or would there be a ton of pressure on him behind the scenes?
I think he would be going to his goalie coach and conversing and finding out what is really going on here. And how do we solve it? That's what I suspect Babcock would be doing. Steve is his name. Steve, what's really going on? I'm getting a lot of questions. He's not playing very well. Explain to me what is really happening here. Now, so you think Babcock is on top of it all. If that's the case, he's got a pretty good feel.
I think he's got a philosophy that he would have passed on to his goaltending coach.
Yeah. And maybe that's why the guy got the job.
So the biggest thing right now is he over-challenges, right? I mean,
you think he's being too aggressive?
I think he's being too aggressive.
And off balance.
What are your thoughts?
And like, not
if
patient.
You looked, if you watched him over the last few games, what would you say that, besides being uncomfortable, what is the biggest thing that you're noticing about him?
I would say,
for me, it's how aggressive he is.
And I would say that there's a large percentage of his problem in his head, that his confidence is rattled.
Yeah, Nick agreed totally with you.
And I think when the confidence thing, Nick, it's no different than you. When you get scratched in a game and then you come and try to play, you're not the same. When your head is not there, I've dealt with so many players from stars to average guys. When their head's messed up, they can't play.
And the one thing I could say when that happened, then when you do get your chance, you're on the shortest leash possible.
Totally.
And you're sitting there going, one mistake and I'm back. But that... that's not his case right now.
Can I put it into perspective that you two will certainly understand, and I'm sure a lot of the viewers and listeners. You're a golfer, and you're sort of. Well, I mean, generally, people are golfers. They want to take the next step. They're going okay. They go take a lesson from their local CPGA professional. They think they're going okay. They get out to about the fifth hole, and they start hitting it bad. And what do you want to do?
You go back to whatever didn't work before that.
Right.
Because at least it was your idea.
Because it was you. Yes. You were comfortable with it. And I think that might be where Frederik Andersen is in this process.
Yeah.
I can use that analogy.
No, and I think if the goalie
Reimer
coach
said it in the interview.
If the goalie coach
go
is doing
go whatever you think is best for yourself.
And the goalie coach is working on his head right now. That to me, that would be the number one thing. Just quickly on one golf thing I wanted to add. I'm having dinner with Lori Kane. Both you guys on Saturday night. Both you guys have played golf with me. Is there anything I should ask her about my golf game that could improve it?
Yeah, ask her if there's any way that she can help you get you to not name drop as much as you usually do.
I would ask her
that.
What kind of grip you should put on your tennis racket?
How do I get myself to not name drop as much as I do?
I want to go back to Lori. To some audio. Here's Mike Babcock, and he's going to talk about the player that he's been very, very impressed with this season. And you might be a little surprised at who it is and who it's not.
He's way better than I expect.
This is Hyman.
William Nylander.
Even today in practice, when he learns to compete every day, his edges, he's an unbelievable skater.
That's William. That's Mike Babcock.
Wonderful
talking about
backhanded
Nylander.
Compliment. He said the same thing about Marner, didn't he?
Can we
the exact
go back?
Same thing?
So he's more impressed with William Nylander so far than he thought he would be. And I think William Nylander, because Marner was the darling of camp, Matthews is the number one pick. Nylander has earned his way into this spotlight and this conversation.
Right. Can we just go back to goalie for 1 minute, Darren?
Jacques
Caron is around too, by the way, as a goalie instructor.
Where are you on William Nylander?
Oh, I think he's awesome. I think talent-wise, absolutely. I said it watching him at the morning skate against Tampa Bay. I'm sitting there going, we're watching. I'm going, he hasn't missed. He hasn't missed. You know who he reminds me of? And I think he has a chance to have a much better career, but Valerie Burry. Like when Valerie Burry was at the top of his game, I mean, it was pretty fun to watch.
That's a good comparison.
He could
blonde hair.
No, right-handed shot, wiry, right?
I don't disagree. And Valerie was a heck of a player.
A heck of a player.
But this guy, for me, and I'm with you on that, I think this guy has a chance to be a better player than Valerie. But Valerie was a heck of a player. His edges are amazing.
And his vertical is really good.
And that's where the game is today.
Yeah, his vertical.
Right?
What's his vertical? His vertical jump?
Yeah.
You mean the fitness testing?
A 2-foot bunny hop that you really wanted to show badly the other night.
He jumped over the Stamkos shot.
Yes, he did. He has his vertical jump is terrific.
It was 13 inches.
It was great.
We had Brad upstairs measure it.
I agree with Mike.
This is where the game is. This is where the kids, since they're 8 years old now with their specialty coaches and their training now, it's all edge work. It's all being able to twist and turn out of a corner. Marner and him have some of the best edges you'll see.
Besides the edge work, the thing that jumps out to me every time he touches the puck is his IQ, his vision.
I think he could finish. Like, that's unbelievable.
Here's
Louis. Thank you. That was well played. Louis DeBrusk, Edmonton Oilers analyst, who was part of the panel last night with Mark Spector and Gene Principe. He's working the Edmonton Oilers broadcast, as well as Louis DeBrusk, part of the Hockey Night in Canada team. Congratulations on that. You're doing a great job. Really nice to have you back in the booth where you belong. Hey. So we're really proud of you on that side. And you get to watch during the week this Edmonton Oilers team that's rolling right now.
And you had played with an edge, but had bad edges.
Hey, you know what? And I was going to say vertical jump. I had a great vertical jump, but I wasn't that fast. So I think it's baloney.
I don't think your skates ever left the ice your whole career.
Yeah, just a little heavy.
What spent more time on the ice, the skates or the gloves?
Yeah, I think the gloves probably.
Okay, before we get into this.
That's brutal.
No, I want him to tell the story about one time when you went off for, was it minor penalties, offsetting minor penalties, and you came out and left your gloves in the penalty box.
Well, I didn't have a glove, so I didn't have a choice. Lyle Oldline had shot my glove up over top of the glass.
Lyle.
Which he sometimes was known to be a little bit of a pest out there, which he did. But, yeah, it was with Sheldon Surrey and in New Jersey. And when we fought the first time, it was kind of a scrum right off the whistle and didn't really get going too much. But we were having conversations in the box, and we were kind of lipping each other saying, let's just leave our stuff right here. I didn't have a glove. I think it was the timekeeper guy that said, you know, if you guys do that, they're going to kick you out of the game. You might as well bring the stuff. So I'm pretty sure we just shed the gear right as soon as it came out of the box. But I only had one glove, so I didn't have a choice.
That's outstanding. Just leave it there. It's good.
Yeah.
Lyle would never do that. I had Lyle for 3 or 4 years. I would never find he'd do something like that.
It was kind of funny, though, too, because I think I eventually did get the glove back. I don't know how they went to the fans and got that glove back, but it didn't happen immediately. So I was sitting there in the box going, you know, I don't really have a glove on anyway. So, I mean, I knew we were going to fight again. I mean, I always, you know, thought about that whenever they give guys roughing penalties. Why don't they just let them go in the first place instead of breaking them up? Because they're just going to come out of the box and fight anyway. But the game's changed a lot since then.
Connor McDavid with another couple of points last night. So he retakes the NHL scoring lead. And Edmonton beats Calgary to start the year. And
Order the rings, Louis. Or
then they beat St. Louis and Washington. In between that was Carolina. But what was more impressive for you, the St. Louis victory or the Capitals win last night, in which they had a strong back half of the game and won 4-1?
You know, I would probably have to say the Washington game. And you know what, Nick? It's funny you say that, Order the rings, because one of the things that Todd McClellan talked about a lot early on, and especially after having success early, was how is this team going to handle that success? Because there's some guys here that haven't won games a lot throughout their career. So it's important not to get too high and try and keep it on an even keel, because it's still really early in the season. And I think that Buffalo game for them was a real reminder of how things can turn around very quickly in this league and put them back to where they should be mentally. And that's why I do believe they've been able to come out and get more wins and play better. But the reason I picked Washington is because every single team that comes in here now has a little bit better book on the Edmonton Oilers. They're starting to figure out exactly what they're all about. And the Washington Capitals are a team that have depth in their lineup. They're a physical team. They're a big team. They have great goaltending. So I really felt it was going to be even a bigger test, because it's a team they don't see that often. They don't know a lot about. And Washington's kind of had their way with them at times throughout the last few years. So for me, for them to be able to come out the way they have and still just continue to bend but not break in situations and then get timely scoring from players, they're getting that depth in scoring, which they haven't had in years. It's been pretty nice to see. And you know what? People are really excited around Edmonton with the direction that this team is going. But at the same time, it is still early, and I don't think that message is ever going to change from Todd McClellan. Jordan Eberle, yesterday talking with him in the room in the morning, he said the same thing. He said, you know, like, we're really excited. We're super pumped that we're winning. And it's obviously a way better feeling than losing, but you have to watch the last game, because the next one is the one you're going to be judged on.
Louis, this is what I got out of last night's game. Now, of course, the depth that you're talking about is there that they didn't have. But last night, they come out, Washington comes out, and they make the score 2-1 on Ovechkin's goal.
Yep.
Okay?
Early in the third.
Early in the third, and you're sitting there going, oh, here it is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a minute later, Connor McDavid goes down the wing and turns Carlson upside down. That led to the maroon goal.
But.
And now it's 3-1.
They had some chances before he got in that minute, though.
But here's the difference. Wash. Is that didn't happen last year or the year before. there's only one guy on this planet that on a regular basis can go down that wall and make a pretty good defenseman like Carlson or many others on a nightly basis go, I can't stop that. I can't stop that. And whereas they would have found a way to lose those games the last 10 years.
He's not letting them.
he's the difference maker now to go up 3-1 opposed to a tie score.
No question. You know, and it's been pretty amazing. And, you know, when we talk about the depth of this team, we talk about the size of this team. They've gotten bigger. The goaltending has been better. Cam Talbot, after a couple shaky starts, let's face it, I mean, he wasn't great the first few games. He's dialed it right in, has been fantastic in his last four. They're getting all of that. But the one, you know, trump card that they have is that they have Connor McDavid. And this guy, at any moment in time in any game, can break out and be a total game changer. It's just incredible.
They should get down. They should get down. Bob Nicholson, Pete Chiarelli, they should get down on their hands and knees every night and say a prayer for that draft lottery. I'm telling you, that's what they should do.
And you know what? It's a blessing. You're absolutely right, Doug. You know what?
It's great.
And they know it. They know it. And greatest thing is, the best thing about all this is that he's a great kid, too.
Okay.
You know, it's just, you know, everything about this kid, just, you know, the players love him. The fans love him. The coaching staff loves him. We love him as the media. He's just, you know what?
He's the unbelievable
superstar. And you know what? He's going to be for a long time.
JC superstar. Anyway, listen, I know you're a straight shooter.
Yep.
And I know Taylor Hall scored two goals, beautiful goals the other night, and had a great game. And then you guys come in your intermission with this great individual clips of Larson. Oh, he did this and he did that. And I know we can all find great clips on guys if we really look hard enough. Were you telling the truth, Louie? And that, is he that good?
Absolutely.
Good. I'm glad you said that.
He comes as advertised. He really does. You know what? And that's the thing. You have, and you know this as well as anybody. You're talking about two completely different players here and completely different needs for an organization. I mean, when you look at what Edmonton needed, they had Connor McDavid. And I do believe that played a huge part in the Taylor Hall deal, is the fact they knew this kid was going to be able to carry this team. They were going to sign Milan Lucic. That played a part of it. But the fact that he was a big right-handed defenseman that could eat up minutes and plays nastier than people really felt that he was going to play. He's a big physical guy that is not easy to play against. So I know you were drawing some comparisons before I came on. I was listening a little bit of the show. A guy that's come to mind for me and a guy that was probably really underrated but a real hard defenseman to play against, Adam Foote. Mm-hmm. When Stanley Cups was a big part of those teams, and didn't get the credit because he was the one that went out there and shut people down. And I remember talking with Keith Tkachuk in Phoenix, big power left winger. And he would go out there each and every night and go up against the league's best. And I always said, who are the hardest guys that you have to go up against each and every night? Adam Foote was one of them. Chris Pronger was another one of them. I mean, when the power forwards and the best players in the game start naming defensemen that are hard to go up against each and every night, you know they're very
good. Is he as nasty as those guys?
You know what? He is.
Or we still got to find that out.
You know what? He's not as dirty. He's not as, I mean.
Yeah, you need dirty.
He could be a little bit on the edge. But if you look at the clips, Adam Larson is not afraid to drop the gloves. He's not afraid to fight. He's an imposing figure. He's a big kid. And he steps up and does not discriminate who he hits.
Now, Louie.
Come across the line with your head down, he's going to hit you. It doesn't matter who you are. It's Michael Ferland against the Flames in the first couple of games. Johnny Gaudreau, who's a skill player, he just plays the game the right way, and I think that's the reason why Peter Chiarelli wanted to go out and get him.
The thing that jumped out at me in your clips last night was the little plays he made, the little tight plays he made in critical situations, and most of them were to get the puck going. Is he do that on a regular basis?
Yeah.
And do you mean Adam Foote when he played in Columbus or Colorado?
When he played in Colorado.
Okay.
You know, but here's the thing. He does make
pretty good in Columbus, too.
And those plays are pretty important. You know, that's what the game's all about nowadays. It's those little tiny plays under pressure that you can make out of harm's way in a defensive zone to support. And, you know what, here's the other thing, too, is that Oscar Klefbom's still feeling his way back into game form. He looks fine, but this guy's been off for a long time. He's missed a lot of hockey in the last 5 years. He's still trying to find his way and be the guy he was 2 years ago when he played the majority of the season. So I'm not worried about Larson at all. I know that people are going to compare these two for life, but Taylor Hall is doing great in New Jersey. I knew he was going to because he's a great player and he's going to score goals and he's dynamic. But what this team, the Edmonton Oilers, needed right now, they had to go out and get it. And they filled a big piece of that without a mark.
Louis, is Chris Russell flown under the radar a little bit with the credit right now for this great start?
Yeah, you know what? I've been really impressed because we talk a lot about guys at this training camp and come in maybe behind the eight ball a little bit. But Nick, he's been seamless. He's come in and you know what? You can just tell he's a real character guy. I know the players and the personnel in Calgary really talked highly of him, his personality and what he brings to the table, his compete. And you know what? He stepped right in to Edmonton. And I talked to him about it the other day just because, you know, sometimes there's a change of scenery, change of system, change of teammates, line mates. But you know what? He's walked in, and if anything, I think he's settled down Andre Sekera a little bit.
You know,
Sekera sometimes, in my opinion, can, you know, paint himself into corners, can dust the puck off a little bit too much, maybe wants to take a little too much time with the puck. But I think that Russell's positioning and support has allowed him to kind of always have that outlet in the situation to give him that puck. So I think he's settled him down playing the right side when he's naturally the left side guy.
Yeah, I'm so sick of listening to analytics guys rip this guy for the last 3 years. I mean, Calgary, he was a guy that they desperately wanted. He played well in Dallas, and then he comes there to Edmonton, and they're ripping him again. Like, it's sickening to listen to be quite honest.
Yeah, you know what? I've never been I understand it's a tool, and
I agree with that.
I do. I think it's a tool. I think it's a great tool, and I think it's just another means of looking at the game in a different different eye. It's you take bias out of it. It's just numbers, it's stats. It's a real, really useful tool. But you can't judge the size of a guy's heart. You can't judge the size of a guy's compete. This guy plays through pain. You know, he'll do anything for a teammate. Those types of things, you just can't put on a piece of paper with numbers. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. And that's Chris Russell in a nutshell. He's one of those guys that comes in and he plays like the cowboy that he is.
You get to Washington and Vancouver, the late game on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday. We look forward to your call of that one, and have fun and enjoy this ride with the Edmonton Oilers.
I will. Thanks, guys.
There's Louis DeBrusque, part of the panel on the Edmonton Oilers on Sportsnet
like
West.
You learned a lot from their panel last night.
Mm. Yep.
Next up for
how good McDavid
Edmonton
is.
Next up for Edmonton is Vancouver, Ottawa, and Toronto. They got a chance to make something here. Make something
where,
really happen.
Where are the games? Are they at home or are they on the road?
Vancouver, home to Ottawa, and then in Toronto.
Yeah.
When we continue, the Rangers off to a great start, kind of sliding under the radar. And the best team in the National Hockey League, points-wise, comes from Canada. We'll get into that in Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, the Sportsnet app, the NHL Network. You can find us almost anywhere. And if you miss anything from downtown Toronto, you can check out our podcast on iTunes.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Staring down a 9-gamer tonight in the National Hockey League. Hockey Central, the new with Darren Millard, joined the studio today with Nick Kypreos and Doug McLean. What's the perfect number of games for you guys on an evening where you can truly take in everything that's happening?
Three's enough. That's 11, a touch too many.
I got three set up on the wall.
I have three set up on the wall.
I can't go.
I
have room for a four, but I'm like,
so why are you disagreeing
with
me when I say three? You can't, if you want, if there's six, if there's six on, you don't have TVs to watch them.
He's the one that laughed at three.
But I'm thinking you've got a late game and an early game.
I don't have a late game.
And then a couple in between.
No. I don't have a late game.
So, yeah, you don't have a late
game. I don't have a late game.
You got to be Marty Feldman past three.
I was thinking five, six, but
I enjoy watching three because you know, like at 7 o'clock, you can sit down. You got your three. I love three because you can stay into it. You
three
know,
three at once is too much.
Yeah, I don't mind three at once. So if I have the three screens,
what are we talking about again?
I have to go to Nick's place for dinner to get the three screens. At home, I'm lucky to have one.
Once you get past three, it's just like shh, I don't even know what's going on.
So we've had a couple nights with 11, Darren, here
Montreal,
recently.
Tampa would get the big screen, though, tonight.
Montreal, Tampa, yes. And then you have Toronto at home to Florida. Seth Griffith will make his debut for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Dallas is in Winnipeg, and the Jets need a win badly tonight. Arizona's lost five in a row. See if they can turn around against the Philadelphia Flyers. The Boston Bruins have the night off after giving up 10 goals between the two games.
Ooh.
In which Malcolm Subban and then Zane McIntyre, the two young goaltenders, were lit up. This is not good. And then David Pastrnak last night is penalized for illegal check to the head, in which there was a puck up in the air, and Dan Girardi went to glove it down on Pastrnak.
That doesn't matter if it's in the air.
No.
People think that it should be like a safety or something, or
fair catch.
Yeah,
but he took a free shot at him.
He elevated himself.
Yeah,
he did leave the ice.
Girardi's in no position to protect himself at all. He's reaching up.
It doesn't matter if he hits him clean.
It's fine. Yeah, I didn't like
a dirty play.
Yeah, I didn't. They're all dirty, Darren.
I didn't like the hit.
Best thing about our game.
And some people last night were arguing it was okay. I didn't like it. I thought he was in a vulnerable position and he hit him at the head. He went to the head. So I hope he gets suspended.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I mean,
he's a hearing tomorrow.
You have to play dirty in a clean way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what the funniest part about it was? Is Pastrnak goes in and hits Girardi and knocks Brad Marchand out of the way, who was coming in at the same time, was just a fraction of a second late.
Beelining for him. Marchand was so pissed at...
Girardi was going to get it no matter what. So that's a hearing tomorrow. The Toronto Maple Leafs getting some good press because of their young kids, but it's the Montreal Canadiens who have roared out of the gate with another strong October. This is three straight years where they have dominated the NHL in the opening month of the season. They are now 6-0-1 after their win over the New York Islanders last night, in which they were so dominant for two periods and still had to eke out the win over John Tavares and company last night.
If you told me at the start of the season that the leading scorer on today's date, October 28th, was Shea Weber, I would have said you were nuts. And he's a leading
best
scorer.
Best start in his career.
Like, seriously. And teeing them up like nobody is stopping that puck.
Yeah.
And hitting the net.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's some great stories. I thought last night, and we watched the game pretty close, they were fast. They played fast last night. The Islanders didn't show up till the third period. And it was a fast-paced game, and Montreal are hitting on all cylinders right now.
As big of a story is how much they're getting out of everybody in their lineup. And Dano gets the game winner, but Mitchell, Flynn, Byron.
But what about Therrien? What about Therrien?
They're all finding ways to be major contributors. Like, when you can play those guys, Doug, 12, 13 minutes.
I know. But he moves, he flips Pacioretty down to the third line with Shaw, obviously to try to get him going with Shaw and Desharnais, and he puts Byron up on the big line. That was a good move by Therrien.
That line just took over the game.
Took over the game.
It's the 27th.
Yeah, I know. I'm leaving on the 28th.
And that's from your three producer, wins for Tony Montoya.
Four.
Three wins. Is he got four wins?
Four, so we're 3-0-1. You're right. Yeah.
Did you like his battle?
Wins already.
He's given up six goals in four games.
And how about how he battled in the net in the third period? He battled for them.
Say hello to my little friend.
Do you think he walks around the room saying that?
I would be. If I was his teammate, that's all I would say all year. Al, you want to play games? Okay. We'll play games.
Well, they've got something going now with Radulov in the power play, along with Shea Weber, and that gives them two different options.
And Gallagher and Shaw were like, if you're coaching the New York Islanders and you watch Gallagher and Shaw, and no pushback at times, Shaw isn't getting points. But I'll tell you what. He's playing well.
Andrew Ladd he's had trouble fitting in there.
Yeah,
producing anything. And last night it was another struggling game for them. But it was as lopsided of a one goal game as you're going to get.
I was really impressed with Montreal's game.
Thomas Greiss was impressed with them. So now tonight they get the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are in Montreal waiting for them. It's the back half 2-2. The Montreal Canadiens will have Carey Price in goal. So a fresh Carey Price.
And we know Bishop's two front teeth, I think, are mm-hmm. back in play.
Are they? Did you ever discover whether they were caps?
They were caps.
Okay.
They were caps. Big difference, Darren, between
real teeth
and caps getting knocked out.
I know. You chip a tooth, okay. You're done. It's you,
and then you're in root canal territory.
You already went
through
this. And
now it's comparable to having a baby.
Okay, so no, it's not. The Rangers rallied last night as they beat the Boston Bruins.
Have you had root canal?
No.
Okay, so don't talk about it, okay?
No,
but I had five root canals in one night, okay? Comparable.
I think I know what the comparable for me is.
I watched
to a root canal.
When I was,
would you agree, Matt? Not a baby, but maybe here.
There was
this show? Getting an hour through this show?
There was
comparable to root canal?
There was a lot of nights watching from my box in Columbus.
It felt like a root canal?
It felt worse than a root canal.
Hosting this
some nights.
So where
with no freezing, by the way, root canal.
Well, that's dumb.
It's not dumb.
Can't you freeze a root canal?
Sometimes it doesn't take.
Well, then I'd wait.
There is my comparable.
Let's get back to
Rangers.
The Rangers and sink our teeth into this. Fifth win. They rallied from a 2-0 deficit. They get goals from, Kreider's got three. Vesey's got three. Grabner, Miller, Nash.
Nice. Spread out nice.
Brandon Peary. Like, that Brandon guy can Peary, shoot.
He drilled
All
it
he does
night.
Is score.
I know. He drilled it that, last
that's
night.
That's a great signing.
And he can't stay on the team.
Been good.
Why don't
he
people like this guy?
On a team.
Yeah.
He gets 20 goals and he floats around. I don't get it. Why they don't like him. I guess he's...
He seems to have found a home.
21 goals and 3 assists.
That was not a bad. Shot last night.
That was
his
shot.
His first goal on Zane McIntyre.
It was a bullet.
Your godson scored as well?
Who?
Rick Nash.
You don't even remember anymore? Oh, come on.
I've moved it now to Chris Russell and some of Clark's clients. I've moved away from Nash.
I thought I was going to get yelled at last
Anybody
night.
Anybody that can bring you 3%,
so
you're a big fan of five.
I don't
five. Know. Five.
I don't know what it is.
So last night, the Rick Nash has a semi-breakaway, and he's pulled down.
Yeah, you swore.
And
you swore.
No, I never. And he gets pulled down, and Doug says, is that not a penalty shot? And I say, well, I think he kind of knocked Carlo down. I think it's a penalty on Nash. And before I can even finish the sentence, I think, what have I done here?
Yes.
What have I done? I'm going
to
get yelled at, but Doug was good about it. We had a nice little conversation. There was no penalty on the play.
It
but
was
the,
a what, joke.
The New York Rangers, though.
Coley Campbell should phone that referee and blast him for that. I'm kidding.
This is a team that perennially gets off to slow starts.
And you know what? I've been sort of worried about the Rangers, whether what they were going to be. I said, okay, Lundqvist gets them in the playoffs.
Five
okay?
of the seven have been at home.
But they're going to have to fight. They're going to have to fight to get in for me. And the Islanders, they're another team it's not going to be easy. There's when you look at the East, you say, who's going to miss here? It's not as tough to make it in the East. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of teams that are going to be fighting for that 6, 7, and 8 spot.
Don't underestimate, too, that Jimmy Vesey, right? And being able to get a quality guy that could step out of college and be a top six type of guy. He's got 4 goals already. We knew the hype on him coming out and the race from –
And you like
Boston,
that,
Toronto, all of them, and the Rangers. Nobody really talked a whole heck of a lot about this guy ending up becoming a New York Ranger.
And as super agent Joe Resnick would say to that comment that you just made, did you see the great pass Rick Nash gave him on that goal last night?
Don't send me the text, Joe. I got it out for you.
The text doesn't come anymore because it's not a contract year.
No, that's true.
Hey, Boston Bruins hope Tuukka Rask is going to be available on Saturday.
Seriously.
I'm not sure.
I feel for Claude Julien.
Malcolm and Zane, they're being thrown into
the Wolves. It's a pretty tough situation.
Florida Panthers against the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. It's Leafs Nation pre- and post-game show. Gord Stellick, Todd Lushko had the pregame at 7 o'clock and the post-game after the game, which is appropriate because it would be very difficult to talk about the game.
I'm looking forward to watching the Panthers.
Which one's first, the pre or the post?
The post-game comes after the game.
Got it.
The pregame is before that with Gord Stellick and Todd Lushko and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Enjoy all the action. 9 games tonight. We'll be back tomorrow to chat about the National Hockey League. on Sportsnet's Hockey Central at noon.
You want to play games? Okay, we'll play games.